There's a funeral tomorrow in Baltimore. It's for Deshaun McGreer, who was shot and killed last month. McGreer worked as a violence interrupter for a program called Safe Streets. He was not killed for his work. He was the victim of violence in a city where there have been more than 300 homicides each year since 2015. The majority of those have been gun-related.
This is an area that we consider a hot spot.
Dante Johnson is also a violence interrupter for Safe Streets. He heads up the site in Bel Air Edison. He gives us a tour of the Northeast Baltimore neighborhood where he works.
Our violence interrupters, they work out here in pairs every day. So this is a dedicated post down here.
It's late morning as we walk down Bel Air Road. The neighborhood is pretty quiet now. But at night, Johnson says,
you're talking 30 people out here. Doing different things or, you know, making a living the way they make a living. Sometimes it's a little tense to you. So for the violence interrupters, you know, they got to be on point.
Johnson waves to a man across the street, stops inside a convenience store, pauses outside a church. He swings open the door at a beauty salon.
Hey, sis.
Hello, how are you?
How you doing? Come talk to the people real quick.
A woman with her hair in multicolored locks sticks her head out.
How are you?
How are you?
I'm fine. Everything's great. I don't have any complaints.
That's Monica Carrington, but everybody calls her Minx, like the name of her shop. She's had businesses here for 3 decades and says it's a lot different from when she first opened up.
It was more professional around here, and it's changed as far as, you know, it's coming back, but like getting people off the streets, you know, it's a whole different area, more crime.
Safe Streets is not new to Baltimore. It's been operating for a decade and a half, and it's based on a model that was created in Chicago called Ceasefire, and there are similar programs across the country. Save Our Community in Toledo, Cure Violence in New York. The idea is to treat violence using public health strategies. Baltimore Mayor Brandon Scott is spending $50 million of Baltimore's federal coronavirus relief money on violence prevention efforts like Safe Streets.
This disease of gun violence has had a hold on my city for longer than I've been breathing oxygen. And what folks want to rush to is there's one cause or one thing and one action and one solution. And what we know from living here is that we know that there is no quick fix.
He's also looking at both expanding Safe Streets from 10 sites now to eventually 30 and overhauling it.
One of the first things that I ordered is to do a complete analyzation of Safe Streets because we've had it for, you know, since 2008 and we have to evolve. But in order to evolve, we have to know where the gaps are.
Dante Johnson has led a team of violence interrupters here for 2 years. He's always got one earbud in for when his phone rings. Often, his job is to connect people in the neighborhood with resources. Early in the pandemic, that meant face masks and hand sanitizer. People also come by the converted row house where Safe Streets is based for help with their resumes or to use the recording studio that Safe Streets has upstairs. It's free for locals to use.
When we first got here, the guys were saying, Mr. Dante, we sell drugs because we got to buy studio time. And that could be expensive for people. These guys literally hanging on this corner right here because they trying to hustle up some money to get into the studio.
But much of Safe Streets' work is in the streets. And to do it, you have to know the streets.
The people that work here, we have experience that's street-related. You know, I've been in trouble with the law in the past. I had some battles with addiction in the past.
But that doesn't mean he came to Safe Streets Green. Johnson is a certified peer recovery coach. He had a job with the Baltimore City Health Department. But what about his colleagues?
We take conflict mediation classes, and we follow a model called the Cure Violence Model. When emotions are flaring and people are arguing and they talking about shooting each other and we around or we catch wind of it, then we try to work with both parties to a degree where we can, like, walk this guy away and walk this guy away and just get them to kind of, like, calm down a little bit.
I want to ask you, if I can, about the relationship that Safe Streets has with cops, with law enforcement. What's that like? Because it feels to me, and I hope you will tell me if I am wrong, that part of being able to do the work that you do and to be trusted means that people can't think you're going to leave from stopping a situation that you're not going to run to the next cop on the corner.
We don't work with the police. They got a job to do. It's not connected to the job that we do. because law enforcement will come in and swoop them up and lock them up. And we don't want to see our people locked up. You know, we want to see all of our people free.
There are places where we use police to deal with the problems we should use almost anything else to solve. And I don't think we solve problems with punishment when their real cure is care.
Philip Atiba Goff is the co-founder and CEO of the Center for Policing Equity. He says violence interruption does reduce violence, but that studying it is
incredibly painstakingly difficult to do in any city, which is why most of these things that are funded on shoestrings and are literally just funded at their cost don't have the money for an evaluation of it, which is why we have less on violence interruption than we do on some of these other interventions that work.
And despite general similarities, these programs vary enough city to city and even site to site within organizations that research is significantly complicated. That's one of the problems Baltimore Mayor Brandon Scott has pledged to fix, with a city-run evaluation coming at some point in the near future. Latrina Antoine works at Baltimore Witness, a website focused on crime and justice in Baltimore. She says she believes violence interrupters are making some impact here, but she questions just how big an effect these programs, with relatively limited staff and resources, can have. She also says the interrupters themselves need more training.
They need more than just having relationships in the community and being familiar with the community or with the criminal players in those communities. They need more hands-on, adequate training because they are going into very traumatic situations. They're going into violent situations, and they need to be fully equipped to be able to handle whatever they will encounter in those situations.
The violence interrupters who work in Bel Air Edison start their shifts at 2 in the afternoon. Three men, all wearing black, clustered at one end of a long table in the basement. Lamont Crooks is one of them.
I'm watching, you know, all the damage that's being done to the youth out in the streets, and I was once them youth, so I figured that if I can stop them from going down the path that I went down, then I'll at least give it a try.
Safe Streets leaders identified Albert Williams as a possible violence interrupter because of his reputation.
I got involved because a close friend, Dante Barksdale, he's seen the influence that I had on my little area around here, and he just constantly kept messing with me, trying to get me to get the job because he know I would fit inside the curriculum. So he, like, really drove me, and he passed away. So it's like, I got to do it now because he's seen it in me, so now I got to see it in myself to help.
Barksdale was one of three Safe Streets workers killed in the past year. Dante Barksdale, Deshaun McGreer, and the third, Kenyell Wilson. Here's Dante Johnson again.
It's a good job, but it can be stressful too. You know, we had some deaths in the program. You know, Deshaun, he was killed while doing the work. And, you know, our families, they worry about us, you know. And anything can happen to any of us at any time. We all know that. So some of the things that's happened to my colleague, for example, that just happened because he was working, and it just happened. It's not like he was targeted or anything like that. So that just was a bad, sad, and a tragedy.
It can go down at any time. I actually got shot out there, like October, what that was, October, what, 20? Yeah, 20. They were shooting out down the street right here down by the stores, and one of the bullets traveled all the way up here and skimped me across the leg.
It's one thing that we've been talking about for like 2 years, like get bulletproof vests, just because unforeseen circumstances happen. We could be in the wrong place at the wrong time trying to stop something. And unfortunately, sometimes you get shot at or shot. So I think that would help.
The other thing I'm curious about, you're taking in a lot of people's emotional stuff every day. How do you deal with that? It seems like it's important, but it also seems like it's really damn heavy.
No, it is. It's heavy.
This is Lamont Crooks.
Like now, I was telling them, like earlier, once I came in, I might need to really talk to somebody because, you know, it's like it becomes overwhelming when you lose one of your members. They like your family, your brothers. And when you lose one of them, man, it's like the work becomes overwhelming. It's like it weighs on you because you know you're trying to do the right thing. Mentally, I just try to figure out how to cope with it. Some days it's better than others, but I managed to make it through. And I know that this is something that I want to do.
There hasn't been a homicide in the Bel Air Edison neighborhood in more than a year. Dante Johnson believes that's partially to Safe Streets' credit. The day we met them, for example, he says they did help mediate an argument,
one of the store clerks at the local mattress store, they had an issue with some people over there arguing and fussing about whatever the case may be, but it had gotten pretty loud and argumentative, so the team, they went over and they talked to the two parties, and the store owner had actually already called the police. So we walked away with the arguing party and walked back up to the parking lot, and they left and went home, and there was no incident.
That there was no incident, no shooting, is one way Johnson judges for himself if his team's work is making a difference.
It makes me feel like our job is being done and that we're saving people's lives and we're saving, you know, tensions in our community. We're alleviating tensions in our community, and that the work is definitely needed.
So tomorrow, they'll bury a friend, and they'll be back on the streets in Bel Air, Edison.